The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, Mike, let's first talk about something we spend a lot of time with on this show, and that is Terry Fontenot, our general manager, addressing the media. This is sort of the end of the season wrap-up presser, guys, okay? Next time we hear from him, it'll be more likely right before the draft. He said today that they need more pass rush. We know this.
Yes.
Okay?
I'm glad he's admitting it, or at least addressing the elephant in the room.
Exactly. So here's Terry talking about the pass rush situation.
Yeah, you know, with the pass rush, we started off and we were last in the league, first 9 games of the season, and then after the bye, significant jump in pass rush with – we're second in the league and over that span following the bye. And, you know, specifically with Arnold Ebukadi, he was top five in sacks down the stretch. Caden Ellis had an unbelievable year, and he led the league in pass rush rate. And so we have pressure. We have pressure players. We have to add to that. So we showed ability. We showed improvement in that area, but that's definitely needs to be an area that we continue to improve.
Now, with all due respect to Terry, to sit there and say we showed tremendous improvement, so we were the best in the NFL in, what, the final quarter of the season? We're still second to last in the league in sacks. We're like, you know, we're one of the worst teams, and we're in the bottom third as far as passing yards allowed. What are we talking about here? That's, to me, that's a bullet point that you could have left on an index card, if I'm honest.
We are going with B. Selection B.
Yeah, I mean, some things are best left unsaid. Yes, we showed a little bit of spark in the pass rush at some point, but yeah, come on. Well, everybody knows it's historically bad, and even though we had one of our better years, Carl, at 31 sacks, we are second to last. We are tied. Let's see, the Patriots came in with 28. We had 31. The Titans and Panthers had 32 sacks.
At least we weren't last, Mike.
I mean, seriously.
So basically,
and you internal, by the way, you said we could get to 25.
Yeah, no, you were doing the math, and we had to at one point explain to you that maybe 30 could be reachable. By the way, the Falcons did get better, but they're about 20th and 21st in passing yards. 38-17 was the number, comparable to the Bengals defense at Carolina. Buffalo actually gives up a lot of passing yards. That's surprising. But anyway. It's an area we all know has got to be improved.
Get better.
And I don't know if he knows how. We hope he can find some guys.
So the comment about Arnold Ebukadi, and Arnold Ebukadi did improve. There's no doubt. We discussed it all season. Caden Ellis, they used him differently after the bye week, which allowed him to get more pressures.
When Raheem Morris did or did not get more involved with the defense, which nobody wants to claim.
But the problem we have is we don't have a dude. Nope. We don't have a guy that teams have to game plan for and say, where is 50 or 90 or whatever the number might be. So we know we have to fix that. Terry Fontenot also talking about the kicking issues, and I thought this was a big deal. Mike, why did they wait so long if they knew Koo was not healthy to put him on IR? He's hurting your football team.
Right.
So when asked about it, here is what Terry Fontenot said in regards to the kicking situation with our team.
Once Koo was injured, we obviously put him on IR. And what it's our job to do is to make sure that we're fixing that this offseason. So we get into the season next year, and we're not having the same conversation. That's our job. With Koo, I know him personally. He feels the same frustration that we all feel, and he's going to work hard to get himself back to the standard that he's been at for the majority of his career. And us as a staff, we have to make sure, number one, we're supporting him, but also we're bringing in, at every position, we have to bring in competition and make sure that we're continuing to enhance those things. So I understand your frustration. It's warranted. We all have the same thing, and we have to fix that.
Yeah, I mean, again, if he's not right, then you got to make the move. You know, if they couldn't determine what was what, that's on your medical staff and your general manager and your front office. You got to fix it because Riley Patterson wasn't an option. You bring in Riley Patterson, and that guy couldn't hit anything. I mean, let's be honest. There's all these memes of Falcon fans in bars going, yeah, we go. We don't got it. It's short. You know, and you got a guy with no leg. When we're seeing, you know, the average kickers are making 55-plus. So that was a major problem. That cost us certainly, if you want to just be conservative, at least one game, and that was the game against the Saints. We needed a field goal against the Chargers to make it a one-possession game.
It started there. But, guys, do you realize we had 12 missed kicks? We led the league?
Yeah.
12.
But you got to address it.
But, Mike, why wait? Like, the Saints game, once that went astray, you're like, we got to be done with it. They stayed the course.
And, again, this goes back to, is Koo telling you he's fine?
Oh.
What's going on here? So this is the same situation we had with Cousins. A lot of guys hitting us up on the text line going, Carl and Mike, do they ever explain what happened to Cousins? No. There is no explanation for what happened to Cousins.
He was healthy. That's what they're saying. Do you believe it is the question?
Then it's the greatest psychological collapse in the history of an established NFL quarterback. That's why we were joking around
that helps our trade value.
Yeah, call Smoltz and get his sports psychologist out there. Guys, there's no value for Cousins when you can get him for nothing. I mean, yes, okay, a team could conceivably trade a seventh rounder for Kirk Cousins, but I'm telling you guys, we have a bunch of listeners who think we're going to sit with Kirk Cousins, he's going to be on the roster, and someone's going to get hurt in like right before Labor Day, and we're going to trade Kirk Cousins for like a third round. It's not the way it's going to work. Russell Wilson had a better year than Kirk Cousins, statistically, a year ago in Denver, and they couldn't find a trade partner. They had to outright release him. The Steelers paid him $1.2 million, and the Broncos paid the rest of his guaranteed money.
One other thing we want you to hear here in our 4th and 1 segment, and we've got more on Carson Beck coming up as well. It's a big show. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. It is Dukes and Bell. Let's hear about what he said about Kyle Pitts. You want to know what he said about Kyle Pitts? Let's play it.
Yeah, look, when you take a player that high in the draft, obviously you expect a certain level, and we understand Kyle had a really good rookie year, and he hadn't equaled or exceeded that production since then. And so there's no excuses we're making about it. And yet right now, at this point, just like any other player, Kyle has to do everything he can do as to make sure he's doing everything he can do this offseason to get the best version of himself. We have to make sure we're supporting him and helping him develop in those areas and make sure we're doing everything to get the best out of him so he can help this team win football games. That's what's most important right now.
What a joke.
So that's three guys now have said we got to get the best version of Kyle Pitts. That was Zach Robinson, chronologically.
Yes.
The coach on our show.
Yep.
And then the general manager in the postmortem. So, you know, how about Kyle Pitts? Look in the mirror. You know, I love what Rodney Harrison said before the Commanders game on NBC and national TV. A guy with that athletic ability can't be that soft.
Mike, I've been saying it all year. He's too big to be that.
Oh, you were on this two years ago. You had it first.
I mean, I agree with Rodney. It's the most frustrating thing to see a guy of his size being manhandled by 5'7 dudes that are playing corner. Like, seriously.
Right.
That, break a tackle or two. Take it to the house. Those are the things we expected. And it's like, he catches a ball, and I'm going to go down. He just touched me. Come on.
Yeah, man. The high watermark for him was the 2-touchdown game in Tampa, and one he dropped at the pylon. Luckily, they had no pylon cam.
But
the thing is, he shows you the ability. That's what makes it. It's one thing if the guy doesn't have the ability. I just think he's one of these athletes who's always been the biggest kid on the block, and I think maybe he takes it for granted. That it just at this level, you've got to put the work in. Everybody knows that. Talk to Jerry Rice. I mean, come on. I mean, if this guy had, if you could instill the Grady Jarrett, you know, the Jesse Bates kind of work ethic in him, Rick London's got that same kind of fire. Bijan certainly has it, and Pitts doesn't.
All right, one.
And how are you surrounded by guys like that, and you put that on tape? Because all your teammates see it.
It ain't in you. That's how. It's not in you.
Where's your pride, Pitts?
That's how. There are some guys who see that and go, dog, that's how I work. That's how I've got.
Because when they're in the guys, when they're showing highlights, everybody in the room sees what you're doing. And you know, as we talked about with Wes, he was basically the second string tight end the last 4 weeks of the season.
All right. Since we're talking about Kyle Pitts, I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna tell you something about a story about Kyle Pitts, okay? Not been shared. And it tells you everything you need to know. I'm going to share that when we come back.
Okay.
But before we do, the Raiders have relieved Tom Telesco of his duties as general manager. Mike, what in the hay are the Raiders doing?
Yeah, they let their coach speak. Antonio Pierce addresses the media, and then he gets fired a day later. And then a few days back, now Tom Telesco is gone. He was the former Chargers general manager, and rumors around the league where he was secure. Nope. So Mark Davis now has got to start from scratch. A lot of folks feel there were some good things that Telesco did in the draft, but obviously they moved on from Devontae Adams. They had a quarterback situation that was a nightmare. They still have Max Crosby. But, yeah, that's a mess.
Wow.
You got a crazy nut owner too.
Why not do this a few days ago when you did?
Because you get your hair cut with a bowl. Okay? This guy's not making great decisions in his life.
All right, that news in the NFL. So the Raiders now, though, here's the point. They need a GM, correct, and they need a head coach.
That's correct.
All right. Last time they did that was Gruden and our man Mike Mayock.
Yes. But he had good hip swivel.
He did.